Radius for a long time has wanted that job done, completed. And so now the job is completed, and we thank the men who worked so hard yesterday and so faithfully to do that work. The job is out of the way, and it should be out of the way for several years now. It shouldn't give us any trouble for a long, long time. It has been troubling us off and on for several months. But now everybody's satisfied, and we're glad. Thank you, brethren, for what you did yesterday. I regret that I couldn't have been in on that, but I always stepped in late. I'll let you remember to pray for those who need our prayers. They're sick people in hospitals and at home who need our prayers. And let's remember them as we pray in public and also as we pray in private. Paul tells us to pray without ceasing, and that's what Christian people have to do in order to keep from being stained by the ways of the world. We'll keep in memory the announcements made just a few minutes ago about certain meetings this month, because the month of December will be a busy month, and we need to keep in memory these announcements. Let's go now to the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians. Somebody said, where is that, preacher? Well, if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians and then go to Ephesians and then Galatians and then Galatians and Ephesians, then you'll find Philippians. Philippians is right after the book of Ephesians. The book of Philippians was written to the church in Philippi, and it's one of Paul's prison epistles. We call it prison epistle because Paul was in jail when this book was written. And the word Philippi in the Greek text means horse, so the name of that town was Horse. I suppose the town had a lot of horses in it when Paul was there. And the first convert in that place was Lydia, who was a very rich lady, a seller of purple. And these fine goods that ladies like to wear. And she usually sold them to the kings and queens and princes and princesses of that day, and she made good money. And on the banks of a little river near Philippi, Paul led her to Christ. And she was the first member of this Philippian church. And now Paul writes a letter to that church. And the title is, in my Bible, the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Philippians. Well, that's what King James Version says. Now, I don't know what your version would say. But anyway, let's go to the first chapter of this book and 12th verse. The 12th verse of the first chapter of Philippians. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing gratification to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Now that's the reading of this portion of the first chapter. And we want to notice especially that 12th verse. For I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now that's what the King James Version says. I do not know what your text would say about it. But that word furtherance in that verse is a good word. It has a lot of meanings, as Paul wrote it 2,000 years ago. It means to beat, knock, pound, strike, thump, bang, batter. Now those are the first meanings of that word. Then it means to cut off or cut down, to lash, to cut, to chop, hack, hew, to hammer out. Somebody says, that word have all that meaning? Yes, it does. That's a fact. In Galatians 1:14, it says the Apostle Paul cut forward in the Jews' religion more than his fellow students. He was a fanatic in Judaism, and so he went beyond his fellow students and made A+. And 2 Timothy 3:13 says that violent men and deceivers shall cut forward or chop forward into sin and wax worse and worse. And so we see that, brethren, in this day, down here next to this tribulation period, we find violent men that will murder 13 and 14 and 15 and sometimes 25 and 30 people at one time. And in Europe and in Asia, they do worse than that because they try to kill out whole populations. You remember in that camp near Beirut, sometime recently, there were several, about 100 people were slaughtered. Violent men and deceivers shall grow worse and worse, says Paul, in the last of the church age. Cut forward. Now in 2 Timothy 2:15, the Apostle Paul says that blabbermouth men shall cut forward into more ungodliness. Well, we find a lot of blabbermouths in this day. Blabbermouths over the radio, blabbermouths over TV, blabbermouths in the newspapers, blabbermouths in the magazines, blabbermouths in the brochures and things like that. That's all they are, just a bunch of wind-jamming blabbermouths. And if you listen to that bunch, you'll be the same way. You'll blab as much as they do. I suggest that you not listen to that crowd of wind-jammers. That's what Paul says right here in 2 Timothy 3:9. They shall cut forward no farther. Yes, sir. So Paul, at the time of the writing of this book of Philippians, was a prisoner in Rome. William Cowper says that God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform, and this was true in Paul's case. Paul was sent to the city of Rome, Italy, against his will. He didn't want to go, but he had to go because a mob in Jerusalem was about to kill him and tear him limb from limb, and he didn't want to be done that way, so he appealed to Caesar. And when he appealed to Caesar, the Roman procurator in the city of Jerusalem said, okay, mister, you can go and see Caesar. And so the Apostle Paul went to the city of Rome, Italy, and he got a free ride on a government boat because Paul was a Roman citizen by birth, even though he was a Jew. He got a long ride on a government boat. The devil did his best to put him out of business, but he put the Apostle Paul into business. When Paul was in Rome, and we all know where Rome is today, Brother Phillips, have you seen Rome? Did you kiss the Pope's ring when you were there?
He wouldn't let me.
Oh, he wouldn't let you. Well, what an honor you missed. Did you get to see the Pope?
No, I didn't want to see the Pope.
No, that's good. All right. So when in Rome, the Apostle Paul was put in prison, and it was all over for Paul. Yeah, that's right. That's what we think. He was put in jail, and he was guarded by soldiers. Those Roman soldiers, my brethren, were not runts. They were big men. Men that were 6 feet tall and over. Some of them were 6'4" tall. Some of them 6'2" tall. Some of them as tall as Brother Mike right here, and even taller. They were big men in the Roman army, because the Roman army would cow and browbeat and intimidate the foreign forces by their big men. And besides, it took big men to handle the battering rams and the javelins and the swords and the other war equipment that the Romans had in that day. A little runt couldn't handle those battering rams or those other war weapons handled by the Romans. And so they had to be big men. And so what would Paul do now? He's in jail. And the devil has him now, so he can have no revivals, he can have no visitation of homes. But you know, it's wonderful how God overrules all of these things to his glory. The Apostle Paul, when he was in jail, was chained by two Roman soldiers. One Roman soldier was chained to this wrist, and one Roman soldier was chained to that wrist, and for 24 hours a day he was chained to two Roman soldiers. Well, they didn't cut the tongue of the Apostle Paul out. They didn't cut out his tongue, and therefore he would preach to his guards. And since his audience was chained to him, they couldn't get away. They talk about a captive audience, boy, he had one. And so he preached Jesus Christ. Now, those pitiful, ignorant Roman soldiers didn't know anything about Christ. They'd never heard of him. They were as dumb as a chimpanzee about Jesus. But when Paul got through with them, they knew something about Jesus, and they trusted in Jesus as their personal Savior. So it's marvelous how the Lord overrules these things to his own glory. You know, when the mob crucified the Lord, when that mob crucified Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, the devil said, "We're going to get rid of that king. We'll get rid of that Christ. We'll put him out of business. We'll put him in the grave, and we'll keep him there forever, and he won't be disturbing me anymore." Well, my friends, God overruled that to his glory, because God brought Jesus Christ out of the grave after the third day, and for 40 days he mixed with his people and associated with them, and then on the 40th day from the top of the Mount of Olives he went to heaven. God overruled all of that to his own honor and glory. It's amazing how God can use the business of the devil. How he can overrule that business of the devil to his own glory and honor. And the devil can't win a victory at all against the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one time John Bunyan was put in jail for 12 years. John Bunyan, a Baptist preacher who lived in Bedford, England, way back yonder several centuries ago. I've forgotten the time or the century that he lived in. But John Bunyan was put in Bedford jail for 12 years. And he had a blind daughter. And this blind daughter every day would bring him food and also bring him writing paper that he might write, because Bunyan wasn't blind himself. And for 12 years, this man couldn't preach. He couldn't pastor a church. He couldn't visit a home. He was out of business in this jail. Somebody says, "Who put him in jail?" It was Roman Catholic priests. That's who did it. My friend, if those Roman Catholics in Lancaster had a chance, they'd throw a bunch of us in jail too. But we have religious freedom in this country, and so they don't have a chance. But they hate us just as bad as they hated John Bunyan in his day. And so he wrote two books, John Bunyan did, while he was in jail for 12 years. One of them was The Pilgrim's Progress, and the other was The Holy Wars. And those books have been next to the Bible in circulation. They are known around the world. They're translated in every language under the sun. And so John Bunyan is preaching Jesus Christ today through the books Pilgrim's Progress and Holy Wars. Well, God overruled all of that to his honor and glory. So Paul is in jail. Everything is up. He couldn't visit his churches. And well, this was a time to do some good. The devil is doing his best to put Paul out of business, but the devil can't do it. The devil puts him in business. And let's read this verse again. Let's read that verse again. Verse number 13. "So that my bonds in Christ, my chains in Christ, are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." Now, my friends, listen. At this time when Paul was in prison, old Nero was the ruler of Rome. And there hasn't been a more cruel or a more worthless man to sit on a throne than that Nero. If you could think of the stinkiest bum down here on Skid Row in Los Angeles, that bum is higher than old Nero. That was the most worthless ruler that ever squatted on a throne. And I mean, you read the history of Rome. Well, that guy actually put his own mother to death, cut her head from her body. You can't think of a more cruel thing than that. Well, now that guy was squatting on the throne in Rome, Italy, when Paul was in prison. He didn't give a snap of his finger for that apostle. Not even the snap of his finger. But my friends, it says right here, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in the palace and in all the places. The members of the palace, five people, worked for Nero Caesar. Paul led them to Christ. Yes, he did, Brian. He led them to Christ. And they spread the gospel. And it could be that that worthless skunk called Nero heard the gospel from his own servants. They could have. He could have, Brian. Yes, sir. Paul spread the gospel to high men and low men and middle class men and all men. He spread the gospel. And they believed his message. Right there in that pagan city of Rome. All right. And verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now then, let's go to the second chapter of Philippians. Second chapter of Philippians, and verse number 5. Verse number 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of a mind did Jesus have? Well, he had a good mind. He had God's mind. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. In other words, he emptied himself and took upon him the form of a servant. Now, my friends, that word servant right there is from a word which means the lowest servant there was in that day. Jesus Christ came all the way from heaven, he was the King of glory, down to the lowest point in this world, and took the lowest form of a servant in this world. And he went so low as to wash the disciples' feet, all 12. He actually washed the feet of Judas Iscariot. All right, you read the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. He washed all 12 feet. That was God of heaven in flesh. And the Lord Jesus Christ coming down in the form of a bond slave, a servant, and willing to wash the disciples' feet. That's what this says right here. He didn't become a king in this world. He didn't become a high, fine rancher with 600,000 acres of land. No. He didn't even have a place to put his head at night. No. Half the time he had to eat borrowed food. The clothes he wore were borrowed. That's the kind of man Jesus was. He wasn't one of these high mucky the mucks. Had his chin up in the air saying, I'm better than you. I came from hell. Boy, I'm somebody. Look at me. I will strike you with a sword if you don't do what I say. You didn't find Jesus Christ doing that. No, sir. Take those butchers in Russia. Those butchers. One of them already died, and we're glad of it. Now another butcher has come to the throne. Jesus Christ didn't act like that when he came down here to this world. Paul says right here, he took the form of a bond slave and was made in the likeness of men. Made just like a man. Yes, sir. He had hair on his head. He had a body, arms and legs, toenails and fingernails and teeth. And he ate food and drank water, just like you and me. The God of heaven did that burden. That's Christ-mindedness. And Paul says, I am not ashamed to be his prisoner. All right, now then, let's go to the third chapter. Third chapter of Philippians. Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Boy, not Barnabas. Here's a man who's in jail. He is in jail, brethren. As a matter of fact, Horace Chastain tells us that that was the... I think they call that the... Mameluke Dungeon, is that the name of it, Brother Jim? Mameluke or something like that. That dungeon that they had Paul in. And yet he's saying rejoice. I've forgotten the name of that dungeon in Rome where they had Paul. But anyway, they had him down there and he says rejoice. Could you rejoice if you went to jail and nobody came to see you? Not even your friends? They had nobody to visit him. He had no wife. His wife ran off and left him when he became an apostle. She didn't give a snap of her finger for him. He had no, his guards didn't care anything bar him. He had no friends in Rome. Members of that church in Rome didn't care anything about him. How could he rejoice? But he says, rejoice. You know, my friends, the average family today is living in luxury. We're living lavishly today. You take President Andrew Jackson home, I think he was a president of the USA about the 1830, 1835, somewhere back there, Andrew Jackson. You know, he's the man who in the war of 1812 at the Battle of New Orleans said, now boys, listen, don't you fire your guns until you see the whites of the eyes of the British. And when you see the whites of the eyes, then you lower the guns and let them have it. Let them have it. And that's what they did, and they won that battle. They shot him down wholesale. That is Andrew Jackson. And when he went into the White House, my friends, as president of the USA, his wife didn't have a cooking stove. No electric lights, no conveniences whatsoever. Somebody says, how did she cook? She cooked the food on a fireplace. That's what they did, Brian. They didn't even have coal oil lamps in Andrew Jackson's day as president. Not even coal oil lamps. How'd they see at night? That old child of candles. That's right. They hadn't even dreamed of a microwave oven. Boy, we live lavishly today. We live as kings today compared to those people in the days of Andrew Jackson. And yet there's more growling and more whining and more bellyaching in this century than I've heard in my life. People are always whining. Some people wear out the covers, they wear out the sheets, they wear out the pillows, worrying at night, tumbling and tossing. Oh, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to get by? We're making $3,000 a month. I don't know how we're going to get by. We have 2 Cadillacs in the garage. We have 4 chickens in every pot. We have ham. We have turkey. We have duck. Oh, how on earth are we going to get by? Preacher, you're crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. Americans are the silliest people on the face of the earth. There are little babies in San Salvador, and I saw them last night, that are starving to death. And here we are living like kings in this country. And you know, Americans don't object to paying $50 for a meal. $50 for a meal, think about it. Some of them do. And then they've got $10,000 left over. We live like kings. We don't rejoice, brother. Paul said rejoice. That's right, rejoice. We ought to thank God for our blessings. While there were many men living in the last century who didn't know what a suit like this was. They didn't know what it was to wear suits like this. They didn't know what it was to wear clothes like Brother Tom and Sister Grace have on. They wore buckskin. That's right, brother. Paul said, rejoice. We just don't rejoice. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm in the same boat with you. I'm not criticizing. But there's more whining done by Americans. And you hear it over radio and TV, too. Whining. Stomachache. Paul said, rejoice. Let's go to 3 and 12. Philippians 3 and verse number 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. You know, I'd be ashamed, brother, to stand up in a public assembly and say, I have not sinned in 20 years. I'd be ashamed to say that. And you find some numbskulls in this day that will stand up in a public assembly and say, I have not sinned in 20 years. In Little Rock, Arkansas, when I was back there, I went to Mrs. Agnes Diffie's church. That was a Nazarene church on Main Street in Little Rock. And I went to that church one night and I heard a testimony meeting. And one of those nitwits got up and said, I'm as good as Jesus Christ and getting better every day. Can you imagine such numbskullism as that? That's the time when I walked out. I said, I don't want to hear any more of this ignorance. That's Mrs. Agnes Diffie.
pastor of the Nazarene Church in Little Rock, Arkansas, with 1,000 members. Oh, God, have mercy. Paul said, I'm not perfect. That's what he says in this verse. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. I am not perfect, says Paul. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. What does he mean by apprehended? He means I am arrested. Jesus Christ arrested me on the Damascus Road. Yes, sir, he arrested me and I stopped. I fell down and I was blinded for 3 days and 3 nights. And he arrested me in order that I might work for him. Now then, friends, let's go to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And in this fourth chapter, we find Paul saying in the sixth verse, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't worry, that's what he says. That's what he's saying in this chapter. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't lie awake at night. Let your requests be made known unto God. Why? Because we're going home to glory. Jesus, our God, is going to send Jesus back. He's going to bind the devil. And we certainly shouldn't worry about yesterday because it's gone. We shouldn't worry about today. We ought to make the most of it. And we shouldn't worry about tomorrow because it may never come. Now then, let's go to the fourth chapter of Philippians and the 15th verse, where Paul says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. For not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You know, that's the reason I like this church. This church is a missionary church. I do not know how many missionaries we are supporting. I have no idea. But this church is supporting several missionaries. Sister Spiegel, do you know how many missionaries this church is helping to support? Four. That's a good number. Four missionaries. We're in foreign fields. We're helping to support. I'm glad this is a missionary church, brethren, because the Bible is a missionary book. God Almighty sent His Son from heaven as a missionary. Jesus sent the 12 apostles as a missionary. God sent the prophets as missionaries. And He wants His churches today to go as missionaries and preach the gospel as far as they can preach it around the world. Even those inside the Iron Curtain need the gospel. The Bible is a missionary book, and the Apostle Paul, in those last verses I read to you, were thanking the Lord for the Philippians because of the offerings that he had received from them, because they were an odor of sweet smell, acceptable unto God, well-pleasing to him. Now, that's the message. I appreciate you coming today. Thank you very much for being in this service. Thank you so much. May we stand together, please. Everybody stand.
Is there anyone here that has a word that you want to speak, an announcement to make, a request for prayer?